At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. Across from me on the board doing his thing per usual is our guy CB. And to my left, back for another round of Rothman and Ice, is Ryan Baker. Bake, happy Tuesday, my man. How you feeling today, big dog?
I'm feeling good. Yeah? Matty had a good night last night over at the shot.
Yeah.
Watched a little Monday Night Raw.
Okay.
Fun time. I was bummed that you weren't there with us, but We held down the fort for you.
Looked fun. It looked fun. It looked like you got to start the show with my guy Jey Uso when he was eating all over the shot. So I was jealous of that. You sent me a video of that, actually. So I am thankful for that, man. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself because WWE is on fire right now.
Yeah, it was a good time. I mean, how can you not have a good time? Good friends, hanging out, being entertained.
Yeah.
Sounds like a heck of a Monday to me. A
couple cold ones. You have one for me?
I mean, there might have been some
good, man.
Cold pops.
That's what you should do. So welcome in, folks. Thank you so much for your time. As always, got a nice show for you guys lined up. 12:33, we will talk to Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. He covers the NFL. 1:33, we'll go to college football, specifically the Big Ten, with our guy Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. And then at 2:33, we'll go to the draft. We will talk to Russell Brown, who covers the draft very well. We are just a couple days away from round one popping off last night. Cavs bring home game two. Just quickly, your guy Jared Allen, I know you like him a lot. He brought it home. 20 rebounds, big. Just a quick nugget on that game. 20 rebounds for Jared Allen, the third player in Cavs history to grab 20 rebounds in a playoff game. So Cavs look like they are in full control, and game three will be in Orlando. But let's go to the college football world, because yesterday, Bake, we started the show with some more transfer news for Ohio State, but it was in basketball. Roddy Gale, he transfers to Michigan. Felix Akpara, he hits the transfer portal. I haven't seen anything for Felix Akpara today and going into last night as far as some teams that may be interested in him, but I don't think there's going to be a shortage of teams interested in acquiring his talent based off of what he can do for you, specifically on the defensive end. But now switching over to football, we found out that Mr. Dallin Hayden, the former Buckeye, Bake, is going out to Colorado and signing up to play for Coach Prime.
The roster turnover in Colorado continues. It's a constant out there. But I will say, Dallin Hayden, we talked yesterday. Roddy Gale going to Michigan. Can't root for you. Sorry, bud. You're off the list. Dallin Hayden, I'm going to root for that guy. Yeah. You know, when he played at Ohio State, when he was put into action, and I don't think ever when he was put into action, it was ideal circumstances for him. And even this year, we're going to redshirt you. Oh, we may need you. You got to get in there. We're going to redshirt you. Ah, we might need you again. Get back in there. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he got yo-yoed around a little bit there. But every time that he had to step up for Ohio State, it seemed like he performed. He had 3 100-yard games, all of those coming in his freshman season 2022 against Toledo, Indiana, and, of course, the big game against Maryland where he had 146 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Guy averaged in his freshman year 5.8 yards a carry. In his sophomore year this past year, five even per carry, 5 touchdowns in his career. Every game he got more than 10 carries, Matty. He averaged over 5 yards a carry. He just performed when he was on the field. So I don't know how much I don't love this new transfer portal world and rosters flipping over, so I really don't like the Colorado style here where they're just overturning people all the time. But I will be rooting for at least one player on that Colorado team, and that's Dallin Hayden.
I'm with you. The dude can go. You laid it out well. Everything that we've seen over the last year and a half to 2 years when he was in the Scarlet and Gray, there wasn't a dramatic drop-off. There really wasn't, if any, drop-off at all at that position when he stepped up. So I am rooting for him, too, because he waited his time. And I have to imagine last year may have been a little frustrating for him, right? When you talk about possibly some of the conversations that were going on behind the scenes, and we don't know exactly what was being said, but maybe kind of the hit and play and hit and pause thing with last year for him and whether or not he really is going to be ramped up to really be a contributor in the 2023 season. We didn't really get to see that. And so you're probably going to the offseason if you're Dallin Hayden thinking, okay, here we are. Potentially clean slate. Maybe Travion leaves and goes to the NFL. We know, obviously, that didn't happen. But even if Travion was going to come back, there was a path for him to get out on the field this year and be a key contributor. But then Quinshon Judkins says, you know what, I'm taking my talents to Columbus. And if you're Coach Day and the coaching staff over there, you're not going to tell a talent like Quinshon Judkins no. Like,
how do you it'd say
be,
no to
right. It'd be silly to pass up on a guy like that who you've seen in the SEC at Ole Miss ball out at a very high clip. So for Dallin, I like this opportunity for him. He's going to be attached to what potentially could be one of the best quarterbacks in college football next year with some of the flashes that Shador showed last year. The only question that I have about this for Dallin is, man, you watched some of those Colorado games last year. Their offensive line was a joke, an absolute joke.
They've lost quite a bit from that offensive line.
There you
line.
Go. Right. So he may be put in a tough situation where he's going to have to create a lot in situations to where there may not be much there. But you know, in a sport right now to where this position specifically, it's being kind of looked at as not the most sought after position, especially when it comes to the NFL draft and where these guys are getting selected. Man, it only takes 1 year. And Colorado's going to be in the spotlight a lot, right? They're going to have a lot of probably nationally televised games, primetime slots, I'm going to assume, are coming their way. And if he plays well, I would not be surprised if draft evaluators at this point next year are talking highly of Dallin Hayden just because of the talent I think he's got.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you talk about offensive line play. We don't know how good the offensive line play he ran behind last year in a limited sample size. We don't know how good that offensive line was, and he produced. Yeah. So maybe he's a guy that'll be able to overcome that at Colorado. I sure hope so for him. You mentioned the exposure that you get with Coach Prime. Eyes are always going to be on that Colorado. So he's going to have a lot of times to have his moment in the spotlight.
And there's a lot of pressure on Coach Sanders this year.
I think so.
Like, so much pressure because of what you mentioned because out of the gate, I mean, if you don't remember that video of him talking to the team and pretty much telling those guys, pack your bags. Certain amount of you guys are not going to be here. He's tearing this thing down. I was surprised that they went this way again in the second year at Colorado, meaning so many departures. And I'm sure some of these are these guys, their own doing of wanting to leave Colorado for whatever's happening behind the scenes. But it's odd to me. So he's got the star power this year with Travis Hunter and Shador. And now you drop a guy like Dallin Hayden in there, but man, if they cannot hold up up front, that they're going to get buried in some of those games the way that they did against some of the big boys in the Pac-12 a year ago.
Yeah, and for Coach Prime, obviously a team that won one game before this past season, he comes in, all the hype, oh my gosh, they're going to go to a bowl game. Yeah. Not their hype, you know, I don't know what their expectations were, but the media, oh, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, they got that player. This was still just a 4-8 team, and we don't see a lot of continuity here in the roster. Again, there's a lot of turnover. What was it, 14 players for them?
Yes.
At least at one point towards the end of last week that had already entered the transfer portal since it opened on Monday.
Yeah.
So again, a lot of roster turnover. This, though, good for them bringing in a guy like Dallin
100%. And on the other side for Ohio State, man, your running back room to me is in very good hands. It's in very good hands with the top of the depth chart with your big two and what you're going to be able to roll out there with Travion and Quinshon. And that's just going to be so important this year, right, for a team that we're going to assume is going to be one of the last teams standing when we get to the final four, maybe even final two. I think this team's talented enough to do that. But depth at that position, I think, is going to be paramount, right, to get to potentially 15, 16, 17 games. So you have those two guys up top, Bake, and then you have some young guys that are below them right now that seem like if their number is called, they could be ready to contribute too.
Yeah, the depth, though, is the thing, and we've seen it the past few years, just like Dallin Hayden's freshman year 2 years ago. We didn't think he would be needed in that running back room with Travion and with Mayan Williams, but injuries happen.
It's real.
And no offense to Travion, it seems like injuries have kind of followed him in his career a little bit. Now, Quinshon Judkins, what we know from Ole Miss his first 2 years, he seems to be a pretty durable guy, doesn't get hurt a lot, so hopefully we've got that there. But it'd be interesting to see, does Ohio State look to bring in another piece in that running back room? Because we know what we've got at the top with Travion and Quinshon. We've heard great things about T.C. Caffey.
Mm-hmm.
They really like his work that he's put in, but this is a guy who wasn't a scholarship player. And then you got the two freshmen. James Peoples looked good. Sam Williams, Dixon Williams looked really good in that spring game.
But it's just a spring game.
Yeah, so we don't know here for sure. So
what I do like, too, is I like the hire of Coach Lachlan coming in from Oregon. I think the combination of his motivating factor as a coach, but obviously his skill and knowing what the heck he's talking about as a running back coach, with what Chip Kelly has done with run games in the past, not even that far in the past when you look at what he did last year with UCLA and Oregon. So you got Chip Kelly coming from UCLA as a coach that really cooked up a great running game. And then you had Coach Lachlan last year that was coaching Bucky Irving and company. And those two programs were two of the best in the Pac-12 at running the rock. And there's so much more that goes into it. We all understand that outside of just the running backs. But I just think the combination this year, Bake, of the coaching staff with the running back talent that they have is really going to show itself in a positive way. However, we know going into the spring game and maybe even coming out of the spring game, there's been some questions about parts of that offensive line, the right side of the offensive line for Ohio State. Will they get that in order? How good do they feel about maybe a starting five if they had to go out there today and play again? We know that they don't, but where's their confidence level over there that they have some big dogs up front that's going to be able to carve out lanes for all these running backs that are really talented?
It seems like they're just trying to figure that right combination out.
Yeah.
In that offensive line, to me, though, the offensive line, and I know you lose a guy like Matt Jones, but you bring in Seth McLaughlin, who's started a lot of big-time football with Alabama, played in the college football playoff this past year. To me, if your five is the five that we saw at the start of the spring game with Carson Hensman at that right guard spot, McLaughlin in that center spot, and then the other three the same as we saw last year, I don't think this offensive line can be any worse than what we saw last year, because it's pretty much the same. You would think there would be progression with those guys playing together, and maybe they get a little better with another year of seasoning under their belt. But again, I guess it's the tinkering of, can we be better here? Can we always strive and get to that next level?
And you'll have a couple quarterbacks, if it's Devin or if it's Will, that can loosen things up for the defense too with their rushing ability as well.
It's crazy with all of the wide receiver talent that's on this team and all of the hype about this position. This team should be the best running offense with the pieces they've got in the country.
The talent's there. The talent is there. There's no doubt about it. So we wish Dallin Hayden well. He's going out to Colorado to be coached up by Coach Prime and company. When we come back, how does Dak Prescott feel about playing out the last year of his contract without a new deal? We'll share with you what the Dallas Cowboys quarterback had to say next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you've recently seen a photo of an older Baker Mayfield fresh off a bender, it's just Bo Bishop. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Shen.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker filling in for AR today. Bottom of the hour. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports. Talk all things NFL all season with him. draft coming up on Thursday night from Detroit. Cannot wait. CB was showing me earlier. There's like a countdown clock on ESPN where we're like 55 hours away or whatever it was. Like, I don't know if I need the countdown clock for that big. I don't know if we need a this far out from the draft. I'm like, okay, we get it.
We get enough countdown clocks during the draft.
Come on. Like, I don't need that. Hey, you were at the shot last night. Do we consume nachos, dogs, popcorn, anything?
I did not. Just beverages while I was at the shot. I think I told you we went someplace before, had a little snack, but nothing while I was at the shot.
Little snack, little appetizer? What do we have?
I just got some mozz sticks.
Oh, okay. You never go wrong with little mozz sticks. No. Marinara only for your mozz sticks? Because I like to get a little ranch on.
No, just they came out with the marinara. That's what I used. Didn't ask for anything crazy.
I hear you. One guy that could be asking for something crazy in the minds of some is a huge contract, and that is Mr. Dak Prescott. A very strange offseason, at least for me, when it comes to what is going on in Dallas and some of the decisions that they're making when it comes to paying their big players. On deck right now for them, it's Dak Prescott, it's CeeDee Lamb, it's Micah Parsons, and all of these guys are due for big extensions, and I think all of them have very good cases to get new extensions from the Dallas Cowboys. But when it comes to Dak Prescott, you're starting to hear more and more rumors about the Cowboys in that front office, Jerry and Stephen Jones, getting ready to gear up for this guy to hit free agency in 2025. And for me, babe, that is wild. That's a wild decision because I don't see a guy that is ready to step up and fill Dak's shoes. Maybe there's some Trey Lance stuff going on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And that's a big maybe for me. But Dak talked about this the other day and said, quote, "I'm not going to say I fear being here or not. I don't fear either situation, to be candid with you. I love this game and love to play and love to better myself as a player and my teammates around me. Right now, it's with the Dallas Cowboys. It's where I want to be, and that's where I am, and that's the focus. And after the season, we'll see where we're at and if the future holds that. If not, we'll go from there." So Dak already in his mind, big, he's ready to hit free agency. Or maybe not ready to hit free agency, but he's accepting that this is coming. And for the life of me, I cannot figure out why they're doing it. I get the playoff stuff. Trust me. I understand that was not a great showing at all against Green Bay. But a large part of that was Jordan Love and that Packer offense just beating up a Dallas defense. And then the year before, there wasn't a good outing against the Niners, but there was a good outing against Tampa the game prior. So there's been a mixed bag with Dak, and I know people like to beat him up about the playoff stuff, but we're in a world now to where, man, it's better to have a guy like this to me than it is to go down a path of darkness and unknown when it comes to the most important position. Where are you at with this situation?
So if I'm Dak, I'm definitely not worried, because wherever I play my football, the next year, 2-3 years, he's going to get paid. I mean, we saw Kirk Cousins go on the franchise tag for years and make bank, make as much or more than any quarterback out there.
Heck, we just watched Kirk Cousins off an Achilles get a new bag in Atlanta.
Absolutely. So Dak, I wouldn't be worried either, because I'm going to be living large wherever I'm slinging the football. If you're the Cowboys, though, like, to me, it was inconceivable a couple years that Jared Goff took the Rams to the Super Bowl, was a former number one overall pick, and they said, "See you later." They didn't think he could get them to what they wanted, which was hoisting a Lombardi Trophy. So they traded him, and they got Matt Stafford, and they won a Super Bowl. So it worked for them. I think it's working pretty well right now, at least for Jared Goff.
Absolutely.
And the Detroit Lions. Is this something that there's something that Jerry Jones and the Cowboys have in mind? Like, we can't win the Super Bowl with this guy. We need to do whatever we can to go find that guy. You and I just yesterday just talking craziness and what if this happened, all kinds of scenarios. Like, what if they know Jim Harbaugh really loves J.J. McCarthy? And they're like, "Hey, Chargers, what would it take for us to pull pry Justin Herbert away from you?" Crazy scenario, right? It's probably not going to happen ever. But Jerry Jones is just that crazy, and I think he wants to win so bad that he would do something
but with
like
who,
that.
Though, with like that's what I'm saying. Like on the other side, coming back to Dallas, I don't know what you're getting that's as good as Dak or better. That's why I think they're playing a dangerous game here. And you look around the corner to potentially what could be some free agent quarterbacks that are available. It's Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, and Tua, and I don't think any of those guys are going to become available. I think all their teams are going to lock them up with new deals. So you're not going to be able to get your hands on those guys. You took me down a path of where I kind of wanted to go. Because here we are just a couple days away from the first round of the NFL draft. And I'm putting a very low percentage on what I'm about to say. But if you are Jerry and Stephen Jones, and you know for a fact that you don't want to commit to Dak Prescott beyond the 2024 NFL season, what do you think about trading him? What do you think about calling New England and saying, hey, we got a franchise quarterback available for you, a top 10, 12 to 15 type of guy, depending on who you ask, in Dak Prescott. We'll take the number 3 pick off your hands, and we'll reset, I don't know, with Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, whoever it is. What do you think of that possibility? That Dak gets flipped. Like I said, I think there's really no shot of this happening. But why lose Dak Prescott for nothing at the end of the year where you could possibly flip him now for valuable assets?
I totally agree with what you're saying. Now, in that scenario, will the Patriots do that because of cost certainty and this and that, yada, yada? Who knows? But you talk about, well, what else are you going to get? You can't lose out on Dak Prescott. We saw what Joe Flacco did in Cleveland last year with a good roster that the Browns had. If you're the Cowboys, can you survive a year or two or three with something like that that keeps you with a good roster in the playoff hunt right there on the edge while you look for the guy that gets you over the hump without paying the guy that's not, who you don't think can get you over the hump without paying that person $45 million a year?
I think that's a tough ask, though, right? Finding the next Joe Flacco. Like, I hear you. That was an incredible ride that Flacco took the Browns fans on. But I don't even know if Jerry Jones was to sign up for maybe a 2-3 year window of mediocrity at the age that he's at. Like, I have no idea. I just think.
But you're in it now, aren't you?
I think there would be more of a drop off if you went down that path. Going away from Dak and his production.
It could.
To me, I think when you go down that road of maybe trying to piece together the Flacco types, the Jacoby Brissett types, like these guys that are serviceable, but maybe if you give them a bunch of runway in the regular season, the wheels may fall off at some point in time, like he did for the Brownies game and that Houston Texans matchup there. That's not something I would love for them, but it's an odd situation. And it just, you got the Ian Rappaports of the world now out there reporting that, you know, the Cowboys appear to have cleared the path for Dak Prescott to test free agency in 2025. So here we are. We'll talk to Eric Eager about this from Sumer Sports next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
No one funks up the work microwave like these two. Fish again? You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
That you are. Welcome back in, Matty Ice. Ryan Baker in for AR. We're going to light up the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now and bring on one of our favorites from Sumer Sports, Eric Eager, the VP over there, covering all things NFL. Eric, happy draft week, my man. How are you?
The best week in the NFL calendar. How are you doing, guys?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. We really appreciate your time. We were talking in our previous segment, Eric, about the whole Dak Prescott situation and him now commenting about not really fearing, you know, playing out the 2024 year on the last year of this deal. And it seems like on the other side, the Cowboys are willing to let that happen and maybe even let him hit free agency. Where are you at with this decision and how Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, and company are going about this right now?
Well, I think from Dak's perspective, he kind of is emboldened by the fact that the Cowboys have already played chicken with him before. 2020, they put him on a franchise tag. He was a much less accomplished player at the time. He goes out, he has about five games where he lights the world on fire, breaks his leg, and then gets one of the best deals in all of football. So for him, you know, betting on himself has been pretty profitable, even when he's gotten hurt, which is something. So I think he's okay standing on his business there. From the Cowboys' perspective, you know, the one of the worst kept secrets in the league is that the Cowboys aren't necessarily, even though they're flashy, aren't a team that likes to spend all that much money. They only have about $6.2 million in cap space this year, and they have CeeDee Lamb on his fifth-year option coming up here. They also have you know, Micah Parsons, who could also you know, stand to gain a pretty substantial contract here. So I just look at the Cowboys and I think this is, you know, two premium players who are coming up on big deals, a really good roster because they've drafted incredibly well over the past 2 years, a quarterback who is good but not in that kind of, like, not in that kind of, you know, top of the market, you know, sort of quarterback range, but he's making that kind of money. It's just sort of a natural impasse here that I think will ultimately end the way that it did for Kirk Cousins in Washington, where, you know, both sides kind of play patty cake for a little bit, and Prescott gets a big money deal from a desperate team next year.
With that being said, Eric, if Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix is there at 24, are the Cowboys tempted to draft one of them?
I think so. I think that with Trey Lance in the fold, I know the Cowboys are talking a big game and, you know, putting on a brave face about that, but I don't think that Lance is the answer. If he was, he would have been, you know, the second string quarterback at one point last year, I think, showing development there. So, yeah, I think Penix, Nix, Spencer Rattler could be at play there. You know, even going down to like Austin Reed of Western Kentucky, guys like that who I think have potential. You know, the Cowboys might, you know, they took Prescott in round four. They took Tony Romo as an undrafted guy. They have not really drafted a quarterback particularly high in a long time. It might be something where they think that they can kind of thread the needle here.
Eric Eager from Sumer Sports talking all things NFL with us. Eric, I want to bring you inside the AFC North and go over to Pittsburgh. Going to be a very interesting year to see how their quarterback situation unfolds now with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields both in the mix. Where you look at where the Steelers are offensively and some of the moves that they've made this offseason, like, what do you forecast happening with that quarterback position and who maybe will play more games for them in 2024?
Yeah, I think Wilson will start the season. I think that Fields will play a lot. Wilson has, you know, been a disappointing player over the past few years. You know, Arthur Smith is a guy who's dealt pretty well with the weaknesses that both Wilson and Fields have, which is, you know, taking sacks. Ryan Tannehill was a big time guy in terms of taking sacks, and they were a really good offense in Tennessee when he was the offensive coordinator. So there could be a lot of potential there, but Wilson doesn't want to throw over the middle of the field. And I think that, you know, with Freiermuth and Washington, two big picks that they've had there, I think that they're going to probably prefer Fields. The issue with Fields is how much he runs and how much he's been hurt over the first 3 years of his career. So if I had to bet, I think Wilson starts and ends the year, but we get a lot of Fields in between.
I'm glad that Matt asked you about the AFC North because we know how competitive that division was last year with three of the four teams making the playoffs and, of course, the Bengals not, but Joe Burrow being hurt. Joe Burrow healthy this season, as of now at least. You talked about the Steelers. We think they've upgraded their quarterback position. How do you see this AFC North playing out this year?
Well, I think the Bengals lost a little bit with Brian Callahan leaving and becoming the Titans coach. I think they lose a little bit with Boyd. It depends upon what they do in the draft, but they almost never draft for need, so it never moves the needle. But they got better defensively. They got Geno Stone into play safety. They gave up a lot of big plays last year. They brought Von Bell back to help. So I think the Bengals will be back. I don't know what their ceiling is. The Ravens have to decline just because, you know, schedule played out nicely for them. They had a lot of leads last year. So Lamar Jackson, you know, they weren't really in must-have passing situations a lot last year, which is where he somewhat struggles. So I think they regressed a little bit. I think Cleveland should, you know, in year three of Deshaun Watson, should get better, and they should be healthier, of course, because no team was more unlucky last year. So I think it's a three-team race between the Bengals, Browns, and Ravens, and I think they all kind of have the similar probability of winning that division, all about 1-3. You know, you can throw Pittsburgh in there a little bit, but I just don't think they necessarily have the horses. And Tomlin has not been that guy who's been able to get them to compete for the AFC North. He's been able to get them to compete for wild cards in the AFC in the post-Big Ben era.
Let's go over to the AFC East. I think the Bills are going to be an interesting team to follow this weekend, Eric, when you look at the draft with, you know, the losing Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. How are you feeling about their roster? Has their ceiling lowered for you at all, or are you in the camp of they have Josh Allen, he can be a floor raiser for everyone?
A little bit of both. I mean, when they traded Diggs, they still had better odds to win the Super Bowl than the Texans, who are, you know, loading up behind a quarterback on a rookie deal who is a very good player. So that tells you what the betting markets believe in Josh Allen and how good he is. I think that I agree with that. Now, it's going to be hard going into a season with Dalton Kincaid, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel. If those are your best receivers, remember they lost Gabe Davis as well. You know, this past off season, so the top two players at the receiver position for them are gone. You know, it's going to be a little bit of James Cook. It's going to be a lot of Josh Allen on the ground as well. And then the defense, I think, needs to get better than it was a season ago, where they dealt with a lot of injuries. But that's not a given either, especially with both safeties moving on. So it's going to be a tough one for McDermott. It's going to be if they do go and win the Super Bowl, let's say. It's going to feel very 2023 Kansas City-like, where the quarterback just plays outside of his mind. And I think the issue with that relative to what Kansas City has is both Kansas City has a better quarterback in Mahomes, but also a better head coach and play caller in Andy Reid. And McDermott's no slouch, but he's not in that Andy Reid tier yet.
Seems like every year, the first night of the draft, we get a surprise. There's a surprise trade that nobody was talking about or nobody saw coming. There's a surprise pick that gets everybody all fired up. I can't believe they did that. If there was a team in this year's draft in the first round Thursday night that's going to pull that surprise, what would be your best guess?
Well, I think everybody's expecting one of New York, Minnesota, Denver, or Las Vegas to move up and take a quarterback with New England's pick. I think a surprise would possibly be Atlanta. You know, they bring in Kirk Cousins 4 years, $180 million, but it's not really a four-year deal. It's not really $180 million. This team had to overpay for Cousins because 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they went with Kyle Pitts instead of somebody like Justin Fields or Mac Jones. I think that they plan ahead at the quarterback position there, and they go with somebody, maybe like a J.J. McCarthy should that opportunity arise. And if they have to move ahead of New York Giants to do it, I think that they might think about it.
Ooh, that'd be very interesting. That's good stuff right there. That would be eye-opening for sure. He's Eric Eager, the VP of Sumer Sports. Does a great job of covering the NFL. Make sure you find him on Twitter at @EricEager_. Eric, we appreciate your time on Draft Week, man. Have a great one.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. Eric Eager was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
Atlanta, huh?
That gave me a little ooh and ahs in the crowd if that happens. But you do have a vet coming off an Achilles injury. Don't know how much runway he has left. But I am excited to see Kirk Cousins this year, Bake, with those young weapons that they have, because it seems like they just needed any type of stability at the quarterback position, and those guys can really show who they are.
I like that they went out and got Cousins, because now we can see if those young weapons live up to the hype.
Oh, for sure. No question. Drake London, Kyle Pitts, all the guys, and they brought in Darnell Mooney, which I thought was a sneaky pickup for them as well. Coming up, Todd McShay. You guys remember Todd McShay. He's still in the NFL draft business, and he thinks he knows what the Washington Commanders are going to do with that second overall pick. You'll hear from him next. It's Rothman and Ike.
right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hitting a hole in one into your ear hole. Ooh. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker filling in for AR. Hope you guys are having a nice start to your Tuesday. By the way, UNCB ain't right for what happened in that last interview.
What?
With
what's
our
that?
Guy Eric Eager. Because when he mentioned that he thinks the Ravens are going to take a step back.
That's music to my ears.
You would have thought the Bengals and the Browns were just stamped into the playoffs already with the celebration you guys were doing.
That's music to my ears.
Man, you guys are going to do your boy like that?
Listen, it's not my fault you chose the wrong team to root for, Matty.
Listen, I can't help where I was born. I can't help where I was born, okay? I can't help it. But no, it is going to be, I think, another fun year in the AFC North, especially if we get clean health for all the quarterbacks top to bottom.
I just love that CB and I were both cheering that news, not even looking at each other, didn't even know.
It's crazy how you guys just dunked on me right there. But that's a CB special right there. I mean, it's been a tradition on Rothman and Ice, like any other. His hate for my team knows no bounds. It knows no bounds. Still my guy, though, somehow, some way. Still my guy. Todd McShay, we all remember him for a while, did a great job of covering the NFL draft over at ESPN. And I think over the last couple of years, dealt with some health stuff.
Him and Mel were so good together.
Yeah, man.
I enjoyed
tough.
Them.
I thought it was a nice little duo. Because you kind of had that big brother, little brother vibe going on where they would get after each other a little bit, talking about these prospects and had a good time in doing it. But he's still around the NFL draft. And he sat down and he talked with Barstool Sports about, you know, this Washington Commanders pick, and whether it's Jaden Daniels, Drake May, maybe J.J. McCarthy or someone else. But here's Todd McShay and some of the things that he's been hearing.
So when I'm done with the tape, I always try to kind of rack my board, figure out who I like, and then I start making calls. I promise you, of the dozens of calls that I've made from January to now with guys in the league, general managers, personnel directors, scouts, all over the league, there isn't one person I've spoken to that believes that Drake May should be drafted number two over Jaden Daniels.
Ooh.
I even talked to teams going back to February, where teams were like, yeah, we're still debating between Caleb and Jaden at number one. Okay. So it was like that first tier has been for teams has always been kind of Caleb and Jaden. And then the second tier is Drake. And then the third tier is JJ McCarthy.
And we had yesterday, before we give our take on this, yesterday, when it came to the Washington Commanders, we talked to John Keim, who covers the Commanders for ESPN, and we were having a conversation with him about, you know, that draft visit where Jaden Daniels and a few other guys were there and whether or not things were shifting and maybe they were going to go elsewhere outside of the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, and here's what John Keim had to say about it. I just, real quick, John, sorry to cut you off, because there were some people were paying attention to some of the odds, you know, in the Vegas world. You know how that works, to where maybe Drake May could be in the mix. What's your understanding of their interest in maybe even Drake May?
They will take Jaden Daniels. Okay. That's my understanding. So what the odds of it, like I saw that, and I'm not buying the odds movement. So I'm not even sure it's between Jaden and Drake May. So, and in fact, I tend to think it's between Jaden or J.J. McCarthy, believe it or not. So I think the Drake May movement, I think it's based on perception. And the one thing I will say, like Adam Peters, who is the GM here, has been very, very quiet about what he's going to do. I do think a lot of things point to Jaden Daniels, and do I know 100% for sure? No, nobody does. But that's certainly what I would expect at this point.
So it seems like the hay is in the barn for the second overall pick.
I mean, John Keim was almost, there was more outside of that clip you just heard. He was almost adamant
that
it was Jaden Daniels, and almost like, I can't believe anybody else would think Drake May. Yeah.
So that's where he's headed. And, you know, the speculation coming out of the weekend that maybe the agent wasn't really happy with what went down. Look, they can be unhappy about it. This isn't free agency. He can't pick where he's going to go. He's going to get selected by Washington. They're going to pay him handsomely, you know, for a 23, 24-year-old guy. And away we go. Are you one of those people, Bake, that's concerned about the age when you look at some of these quarterbacks in this draft class, because you do have Penix and you do have Bo Nix and Jane Daniels? These guys are really seasoned coming out of college. I'm not one of those people that's too concerned about it. Are you?
No, not at all. Like, if I'm getting a 26-year-old guy compared to a 23-year-old guy, like, that's more, he's had more game reps, game snaps. He's probably more game ready now. We talked about this. If you draft one of these quarterbacks and they give you 8 good years mm-hmm. of football, you won your pick. Nobody's going to look back and complain, oh, man, if we'd have took this guy, we'd have got 2 more years out of him. We'd have got 10 years instead of 8. Nobody cares about that in the end.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. Now where we've got, you know, these guys that are taking care of their bodies, it seems like better than maybe athletes in the past, just with the info that they have and the ability with the doctors and just all things at their fingertips to keep themselves upright with their diets and all that stuff. It just seems like these guys have a little bit more runway. And honestly, with the way the league is protecting quarterbacks too, like, these guys are getting smoked like they used to in the past.
With all of this stuff, we get so wrapped up into numbers. You know, how hard does he throw the ball? What does he run this cone shuttle in? What's his 40 time? How much can he bench? We get into all those numbers, and a lot of that stuff is pertinent and it matters. Sometimes we just need to say, can this dude ball or not?
Yeah.
You know, what does his tape tell me? What does his tape say? Like, if somebody runs a 4.45 and can't run a route worth of crap against a guy that runs 4.6 and is on point, you know, who do you want to take? Sometimes we just need to watch the tape
and see. That's why I didn't get too caught up in the whole Xavier Worthy when he ran that amazing 40. Like, that's a legit weapon, but how often does that weapon show itself if, to your point, we can only get north and south and maybe not do a whole bunch of other things off the route tree?
It seemed like the Raiders with wide receivers have been burned by 40 times a lot over the years.
They've had some very odd situations going on, to say the least, out there in Oakland and Vegas the last couple of years. So, yeah, it definitely seems like we're at a point now to where the draft is starting at 3. There's so many people that are tapped into all of this that are throwing Jane Daniels at us when it comes to the Washington Commanders. Coming up, Joe Flacco. He brought home last year's most improved award in the NFL pick. Could the number one overall pick from the 2023 draft be next in line to grab that trophy? We'll tell you next after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well loved. And well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Both of these guys wear baseball hats every day, and it's because their hair is sewn into them. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker in for our guy AR today. Wish our guy AR safe travels coming back from Chi-Town. Hope he and his pops enjoyed the birthday together and the rest of the fam. Shout out to the Rothmans, our guys here.
Glad I could keep the ball cap trend going you guys.
That's what we do. CB wears a hat usually every day. I usually wear a hat every day. People outside of, you know, the building, when we go to, you know, events and stuff, I won't wear a hat. And they're like, oh, I've never seen you without a hat before. You know, I got some nice curls up here. I got some nice product I use, babe, when I hop out of the shower.
CB and I, unfortunately, don't have the hair to keep up with the non-hat crew.
I was about to say, it's more of an insulation thing than anything.
Hey, bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network, get a little off-season feel with him, go around the conference, get his take on what he thought of Ohio State spring game and a lot more. If you missed our interview with Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. That interview and a lot more will be available for you. And don't forget to subscribe to the old Rothman and Ice podcast as well. I got a question for you because I told you yesterday this weekend, I went to see the movie Civil War, which was really, really good. And I just have a question about eating etiquette in the movie theater and timing up your eating with the movie, right? I think when we get to the quiet parts of the movie and there's conversation had, obviously, in the movie, we don't need the crunching of the bags and everything going on. I think people need to be more aware of what's happening on screen and when you're digging in your popcorn bag or not. That was really annoying to me. We were in the movie and there was some dialogue going on, some quiet scenes happening, and we got these dudes digging in their candy bag and digging in their popcorn bag. Are you with me in this, or do you think, hey, it's just free reign?
Well, as you're saying this right now, the first thing I'm thinking is, like, did Maddie add 10, 15 years and become my age here all of a sudden? Because you almost sound like get off my lawn guy here for a second. But, you know, I honestly couldn't tell you. I don't know. I could not tell you the last time I was in a movie theater. Really? So I don't know about. I mean, I guess maybe you should be more aware, but I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
It ticked me off. It really did. But I'm a little crazy about something like that. Maybe people don't care, but I was just sitting there like, I would like to hear what's happening on screen without me hearing you dig into the bottom of your popcorn bag.
Feel like you're wearing your jorts and mall walkers now.
I'm not a jorts guy. I'm not a jorts guy whatsoever. Hey, before we get to some maybe most improved candidates around the NFL this year that we think could bring home or borrow the trophy from Joe Flacco, since that's in his basement right now, CB passed this along in the college basketball realm. Matt Norlander CBS Sports tweeted this out 10 minutes ago. Source: Oakland grad transfer Trey Townsend, one of the best in the portal, will commit to Arizona or Ohio State this week. He says at the back end of the tweet, Michigan State was also involved, but Sparty is soon to add a transfer who plays a similar position. We talked about him yesterday. We've talked about him over the last few days. I know big time CB is a huge Townsend guy. I think, man, they could land this big fish here. When you can maybe slot him into that wing position out there after you lose Jameson Battle, I think this would be a great scoop up for Coach Dable.
I think it's huge. I think it was the number one guy that they had to get on the transfer portal. And if they do, it makes me feel a lot better about this basketball team next season. Now, I know there's still a question about the shooting from the outside, but I feel like if you have Townsend and you have Michi, and you have Bruce, there's three guys right there that I think that can put the ball in the basket and overcome guys having off nights. So it makes me feel a lot better about the offensive ability of this team.
I want one sniper, though. I do. I want one sniper because I hear you about what those guys can do, but I would get a little worried if we got into, you know, obviously Big Ten play and defenses are allowed to kind of pack the paint to a certain degree, and you want Bruce and Michi to operate in space and be able to drive and do those things. So I'm all in. If they can land Townsend, that's going to be huge, but I would really enjoy some type of legit three-point threat out there this year.
If they get Townsend, you have one spot left. Would you rather have a sniper, or would you rather go get that second big?
It's a great
to play
question.
With Bradshaw.
That is a great question.
I feel like the big is maybe a little more important at this point because of, like I said, you've got three guys that I think can put the ball in the hoop.
And you've got Parks, who's just an unknown, right? As a young guy that would potentially be behind Bradshaw right now. And even Bradshaw, all the potential in the world, but we haven't seen it in a large sample size just yet. I'm still leaning sniper, though.
who knows, maybe CB will head over to the shot and talk one of these guys into transferring and open up another spot so we can get both. But
CB, this is your guy, though, so you got
to
enjoy this.
Do you want me to be the GM in Hard Knocks that has to take the playbook and whatnot?
Oh, that, you know, AR loves those scenes, by the way. He denies that he enjoys those scenes, but that's his favorite part of Hard Knocks, is watching guys get bounced. But CB, you gotta like hearing this, man, that it's down to the Wildcats and the Buckeyes. And, I mean, I think we all know what this may be coming down to behind the scenes. You know, you fire up the cash register. Maybe it's a leverage play going on here. But as a player, I know you really like him.
Yeah, I think this is one of the two guys they really want to round out their roster with, because they do have two open scholarships left. They want to get a guy like this that can play a stretch 3-4 position like Townsend. And then I think they're also targeting a guy like Andrew Carr down at Wake Forest, who's a 6'10 guy, can shoot the perimeter three, is a real stretch 5 to pair with Aaron Bradshaw down there. I think, unfortunately, they're just kind of done and dealing with what they have now at guard and focusing more on the front court.
Now, Bake, if you would have hit me with that option, that's what I'll sign up for. A stretch 5 type of guy, I'd be all in on that, as opposed to the sniper, because I'm with you guys. You do have a decent crowd of guards right now, but I just think that specific skill set with Michi and Bruce can really help them out. But if you get that big that can pull bigs out of the basket or pull bigs away from the rim, you could sign me up for that all day.
Check both boxes with one. And CB, correct me if I'm wrong, Sam Walters from Alabama, who could be that stretch 4, stretch 5 kind of guy, he has committed to Michigan. Is that right?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was the case. Yeah, okay. He visited Ohio State and then committed to Michigan a couple of days later. But I think a guy, if they could get a guy like this, Andrew Carr from Wake Forest, he shoots about 37% from 3, can really play an inside-out game and averaged about 13.5 points per game for the Demon Deacons last year.
And Carr has got some, he's thick, too. He's not just a tall, skinny guy. He's got some size to him.
Absolutely. That's why I said it's really a stretch 5, because you're not going to lose a lot of size when you put him on the floor.
It's good stuff. I'm here for it. Absolutely here for it. Transitioning over to the NFL. Last year's NFL draft, we sat back even before the draft started, Bake, and there's just a lot of conversation about, you know, is it Bryce Young? Is it CJ Stroud? Is it maybe someone else? And the Carolina Panthers went down to Tuscaloosa, went shopping at the Alabama Crimson Roll Tide store, and they said, you know what? We're going to spend our first round pick on Bryce Young. That obviously did not work out well, and your number one was not all on Bryce Young whatsoever. But now here we are with the first overall pick, and he's got new stuff going on, new coaching staff. They brought in some new players on the offensive side of the ball, and he says, quote, I think as a team, individually, all combined, I think we learned a lot and grew a lot. Obviously, it was not the year we wanted to have last year, but you know, you're able to learn from those experiences. So it's a complete wait and see mode for me when it comes to Bryce Young. I think when you bring in Deontay Johnson, that gives him more of a safe floor there with the weaponry that he didn't have last year, as opposed to what it's going to look like this year with Deontay Johnson probably foaming at the mouth to show that I can be a dude outside of Pittsburgh. And they brought in some offensive linemen up front that should help Bryce Young. But we wanted to get to a bit of a conversation, Bake, just about maybe some of the guys this year that we think could win the award that Joe Flacco won last year when he stepped up for the Browns and absolutely was incredible for them for a wild ride. Who's a guy for you that you look at that could win that? Is it Bryce Young or is it maybe someone else?
Well, if we're talking about comeback player of the year, which Joe Flacco won, I think the first name that comes right to your mind is Joe Burrow, right? A guy that missed time last year. We know that missed most of the season last year. We know how good he is. I mean, I think that's the really the first one that jumps off the page if you're talking about a comeback player of the year. When you get into improved player, I think that's a different story. And man, that can be so many different people. There's so many young guys out there. Like, I think just thinking of my team, the Cleveland Browns, you know, guys like a Cedric Tillman, they really want a big receiver to stretch the field for them, be like a burner, but can go up and get the ball. I think of someone like him, he didn't have a great rookie season. Could he be a guy that really takes the next step on this team? You know, the door on that is so wide open.
It's so wide open. I'm going to hit you with a wild card name here, and this may completely get flipped on its head come Thursday night. But I think when you look around the league last year in 2013, and you look down in Tampa and what Baker Mayfield was able to do, I think there's a case to be made if
Sam Darnold gets the entire runway in Minnesota. And that's a massive if, because I think they're definitely drafting a quarterback, whether it's 11 or 23, or if they're going to package both those first round picks and move up to grab J.J. McCarthy, Drake May, whoever it's going to be. But Sam Darnold, just because of the weaponry around him, I think has an opportunity to get into that conversation. He would not be my top pick to win comeback player of the year. I would put Deshaun ahead of him. I would put some other guys ahead of him. But he was kind of the sleeper for me when I thought about this when it comes to that award that Joe Flacco brought home last year because of Justin Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson and now Aaron Jones. And teams seem to like him because they keep giving him at-bats, and he got decent money from the Minnesota Vikings. So that would be my deep in the weeds pick for that award.
That's a great call. You mentioned a name, Deshaun, there. Deshaun, could it be a comeback player of the year if he comes back and, you know, is 80% of the Deshaun that we remember, and this Cleveland team has a run season like they did last year, can win a game or two in the playoffs? What about a guy that just got traded yesterday? Zach Wilson.
Oh.
Man. We know he's never been put in a great situation to succeed. What if he goes to the Denver Broncos with a Cortland Sutton and a couple of weapons, and Sean Payton's tutelage just clicks with him? And he, because I don't think he would have to have a world on fire season to win an award like that. He just has to have a mediocre season, I think, and he's going to be in the conversation.
Is he better than Jarrett Stidham?
I mean, do we know that?
And that's what I'm saying. I don't even know.
You'd have to think it's pretty close at this point, but the talent-wise, I would think that Zach Wilson is better than Jarrett Stidham.
He's raw, and I think there still is a decent amount of upside there. I'm not a big believer in Zach Wilson after what we watched last year, and I know the structure probably wasn't the best, but you had an incredible receiver in Garrett Wilson still out there. I like that as a bit of a sleeper pick for sure. I still think they're taking a quarterback, though. Denver, when we get to Thursday, and that'll maybe be the Bo Nix show or the Michael Penix show or whatever it's going to be. But Sean Payton, a lot of people think he is one of those offensive guru, quarterback guru type of guys. So maybe you're right, Beck. Maybe there's something there.
And isn't it funny when we talk about this stuff, we always go to the quarterback position? It's it's the main position that we want to talk about in football.
All the time, because it moves the needle the most. Mm-hmm. It moves the needle the most in the sport. Look at what happened with Houston last year. Like, look at what happened. They hit, and away we go with the Houston Texans. Coming up in the NFL, the Death Star doesn't look like it's going to be weakened at any time soon. We'll talk about that next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter doesn't have a mullet, but he's knee-deep in mullet energy. Morning Juice with Bobby and Beamer.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker in for AR today. Bottom of the hour. We'll go around the Big Ten football land and talk with our guy, Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. Before we move on to our next story, you told me during the break you have another candidate that you believe can do what Joe Flacco did a year ago and maybe bring home that comeback player of the year trophy.
Yeah, and it's a former Buckeye, J.K. Dobbins.
Ooh.
Out there with Jimmy Harbaugh in the Los Angeles, I can't believe I didn't say San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers. What about our guy, J.K.?
Here's the thing. We know what the elephant in the room is, and it's just availability. The only issue I have with this is he going to get more work than Gus Edwards.
And you've seen this firsthand.
No question. Because Gus Edwards, he's a solid running back. He is. Nobody's going to make him out to be one of the best, but he can hold it down for you. But I think with the at-bats that Harbaugh is going to put on the plates of those running backs, with his track record of wanting to run the football, I'm not mad at your idea here.
If JK is healthy, I don't think there's any doubt. He's the number one. Then the question is, does Gus steal touchdowns in red zone carries from him? That's the issue there.
He's the hammer. Because to your point, I agree. Just God-given talent and skill set, JK is the number one when he's right. He just, man, the home run hitting ability that JK had, like just the juice that he had, how much of that is in the tank still?
You can only have so many leg injuries before you start losing
that. That's what I'm saying. Like, we've seen this movie. We saw it with Todd Gurley. Like, that guy was rolling for a while. And I know he had a track record even in college of dealing with pretty significant injuries. But, man, when he was right with McVay and those guys a few years ago, it was awesome to watch. And then, boom, that stuff came back, and we really haven't seen Todd Gurley since.
Another one, and we're questioning the leg injury, but Nick Chubb.
I mean,
and if anybody can overcome that, it's him, because we know he is a freak with the workouts and how strong physically he is, especially in that lower half.
It's not fun when your team has to go up against Nick Chubb.
I'm glad I don't have to experience that.
It's not a good time. Seeing that guy twice a year on the schedule, like he is just, to me, he's a Hall of Fame talent. The way that he started off his career with the way that he has been humming. That dude is for real. Like, he's a nightmare to deal with when your team has to go up against him. But it's just, I mean, especially the first year after a gruesome injury. I don't know, babe.
And this is the second time for him.
Yeah.
Totally destroying a knee.
Right. Yeah, so, that's interesting. I like those two guys that you brought up for sure, because I think there could be something there at the running back position and the offensive productivity those guys could potentially bring to the field. You know, another guy we didn't mention, because you mentioned Burrow, and I honestly thought, like, is he beyond that just with his status and name? Because if Joe Burrow comes back and plays at the level that we know he can play at, like, we're talking about him in the MVP conversation, right? And it is the same thing. Could the same thing be said for Aaron Rodgers this next year? Because Aaron Rodgers has the narrative stuff wrapped around this thing. Like, he's got that thing rolling for him right now, which is everything that he went through last year, and just the world was watching that. If Aaron Rodgers goes out and gets a clean bill of health for the entire year, he'll probably be the leader in the clubhouse, I would think.
And I think you kind of have a point with that. Now, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he's going to be able to play at an MVP level anymore, and I just don't think that's there for him, especially with this Jets team. So possibly he could be comeback player of the year. Joe Burrow, you're right. If he has the year that we think a healthy Joe Burrow will have, he's going to be in MVP conversations. Yep. So the comeback player of the year may get taken away. It's almost like the old Urban Meyer thing.
Right.
How in the world did he never win Big Ten Coach of the Year? Well, he did what he was supposed to every year, which was win, you know, be at the top of the Big Ten.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Let's go out to Kansas City, because I teased that the Death Star doesn't look like it's going to be weakened anytime soon. And that is exactly the case, because last night we found out that the Kansas City front office, and more importantly, their head coach and Andy Reid, they got hit with extensions. So now we're looking at a situation to where the Chiefs announced contract extensions for Andy Reid, their general manager Brett Veach, and team president Mark Donovan on Monday evening. Andy Reid's deal, Bake, looks like that's going to run through 2029. So at least a handful more years for Andy Reid to do a ton of damage. And the reports are from Tom Pelissero that he is going to be the highest paid coach in the NFL. I don't know how anybody argues with that at this point in time. I think the conversation, I think that is intriguing around this now, is big picture stuff and where we think this guy is going to end up on the all-time list of head coaches around the sport, because I think his key card works to get into the room right now for sure with the best to ever do it. But when we get to the end of this deal, I think there absolutely is room for him to be the guy. And I know the Bill Belichick thing is going to hover over his head and some other greats, but But with the momentum that they have right now and the three Super Bowls that he has and even the great track record he had even before the Super Bowl run, Andy Reid is stamping himself big as one of the best to ever do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he already has. And it's interesting, if they won the Super Bowl this past year, was he going to retire? That was a lot of the talk. You know, Andy Reid's not a young man anymore, and there was a lot of that, and he kind of poo-pooed that afterwards, saying, I'm going to be here for a while, and this kind of proves that. Now, will he make it to 2029 as the head coach? Man, I don't know. He obviously could. We've seen Belichick just do that into his early 70s here. Regardless, I think he's a guy that's going to walk right into the Kansas City Chiefs front office if that's what he chooses to do as soon as he's off the field. The thing that this to me, we talked about this yesterday, I was a big believer in the Chiefs, even though they were kind of struggling down the stretch last year and some people were jumping off of that boat. But I believed in them in the playoffs because I think coaching and quarterback play matters the most in the playoffs. And I think they're the best duo in the league. And as long as they have those two guys, they're a threat to win the Super Bowl. So that means they're a threat as of right now through the 2029 season. And it was almost like Belichick and Brady. You mentioned Belichick. As long as they were together, I never counted out the Patriots. I'm not going to count out the Chiefs as long as they have these two.
You knew what time it was when you had those guys, you know, really with those brains working together. Because to your point, you give Reed and Mahomes that time to prep in the postseason with all the seasoning that Reed has. And now that Pat Mahomes has, and just everything that Reed has seen throughout his career. Yeah, you got problems on your hands when the Kansas City Chiefs are prepping for you there. So if I'm Andy Reed, I'm riding this wave as long as I possibly can with Pat Mahomes. There's no way you walk away from this with arguably, you know, one of the best, not arguably, one of the best to ever do it. And we'll see at the end of his career if Pat Mahomes will be the best to ever do it.
In the parallels of the Belichick, Brady, Mahomes, Reed kind of path here is pretty crazy, even though it's not the same. Travis Kelce, obviously, a Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame tight end. Brady had Gronk for a lot of that run. Brady sprinkled in some receivers here. They had the year of Randy Moss. Obviously, Julian Edelman and Wes Welker, they were great slot guys. Tyreek Hill is the only receiver, actually really good receiver, that Patrick Mahomes has had. What did they do it with this year at the receiver position?
With the team that led the league in drops. They won they've gone back to back without Tyreek Hill.
It's insane. And now this year, Rashee Rice, is he going to even be available? We don't know. He was key in the playoff run. Is he going to be available? You'd think, you have to think in the draft, they're going to have to look at receivers.
I could see maybe like a Ladd McConkey late in there, you know, maybe a Xavier Worthy somewhere at the back end of the first round, possibly. Also want to give a credit to their defense, though. Like, I know Reed and Mahomes get the headline. Their defense was one of the best in the league this year, and they've had a good defense. It's just the perfect storm. That's why they're the Death Star in the NFL. It's just crazy.
Patrick Mahomes, for the most part this season, just had to get to 20 points, and that's scary.
That's it. Terrifying. They're an absolute problem out there in Kansas City. So congrats to Andy Reid. Mahomes and Andy Reid ain't going anywhere anytime soon. And for us AFC fans, it's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare. When we come back, we're going to talk Big Ten football with our guy, Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Tweet from a listener. Are you carrying the Buckeye game today? Considering we've never not carried one, yes. The answer is yes. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Finding the sweet spot between the over and the under. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker, chopping it up with you on a Tuesday. Going to go to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring on our guy Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. Howard, how's the all season been, my man? How you been?
You know what? I can't complain. How you guys doing today?
All is well. All is well. You know, here in Columbus, ball never sleeps, man. Football never sleeps around here, especially going into the draft. This Thursday, just want to get your take on what you've seen. I know you watched a bit of the spring game and the quarterback situation here at Ohio State. Your thoughts on the mix that they have, Will Howard, Devin Brown, and where you think this thing could go?
Yeah, you know what? I think it's going to be one of those things that's going to come down to maybe the week before the game. I don't know that what I saw when I was at practice, that there's one guy that's way out in front of the other. Matter of fact, I'd probably say that they're going to be running the quarterback this year. I truly believe that. So they're going to need a couple of quarterbacks to be ready to make it to the season. And I know that's one of the things that Ryan has really been preaching to his entire team. Where you are on the depth chart today may not be where you are on the depth chart week five. So this is going to be a fascinating, quarterback battle. And I think there'll be some packages for some different players that are able to bring different things to the table. I think right now, Ohio State's going to get away from, who they've been the last couple of years.
With all of that being said, Howard, is it concerning, or should we be concerned, that coming out of spring ball, they don't have a definitive guy there as the starter?
I don't think so. I'd say historically, since Ryan has been there, or really, for a while since they've been on this run, the new quarterback that was coming in, there's always been a little bit of a struggle. And I'm talking more about Will Howard at this particular point. They haven't necessarily looked great in the spring, during the spring, but things just continue to play. I think this is why it's so important, this offseason, when those guys are out there throwing with the receivers in the backs, and those guys are working in their individual stuff as teammates and players, they've got to start to get that continuity down. And I think it's going to be one of those things where, they've got to make a decision at some point, but somebody has to be able to rise to the level and be able to take control of the position. And I don't think they're there. And quite honestly, I don't know that they're close to being at that position just yet.
Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network joining us here on The Fan. Howard, let's talk a little bit about the running back room. And there seems to be a lot of excitement, a ton of potential right now on paper for what Ohio State can be, and especially with the addition now of Chip Kelly. Your thoughts on Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson, and just the whole mix of what that running back room and coaching staff could potentially cook up for the Buckeyes this fall?
Yeah, I think if you go with my thought is it's going to be more of a run than it is throwing it around the park. I think they have an outstanding backfield. They always have. It was a matter of being able to keep guys healthy. And, the combination of being able to really be able to pound it inside and then be able to catch the ball out of the backfield is what I think they really have a good mix of in that room. So now it's just a matter of how do you utilize them. And that's why I truly believe the quarterback is going to be run more. That's going to open up this run game. I think the bigger concern or the bigger questions all start up front on the right side. You guys know it's been well documented. They're trying to solidify that side of the ball. And they've got to get that done, because it's going to come down to being able to control the trenches. And that's one of the things they may have struggled with in some of the games that they played in the past that they've lost.
Howard, the old saying, chicks dig the long ball. So we always talk about offense. Offense sells tickets. But this Ohio State defense was one of the best in the country last year. They bring back almost everybody from it. You bring in a guy like Caleb Downs from Alabama, who was a freshman All-American. What is the potential? How good could this defense for Ohio State be?
Yeah, I think the sky's the limit when you start to look at what's come back and what they've been able to add. They're long, they're aggressive, they can run, they're going to be able to get after the quarterback. They're going to be able to get inside penetration, which quarterbacks hate to see, opposing the quarterbacks hate to see guys inside that can rush the quarterback, so they'll see some of that. And I think that's part of, to me, when you look at this offense, why it's so difficult to really truly evaluate what's happened offensively, because this defense is, in my opinion, so far ahead of them right now. I shouldn't say so far, but they are ahead of them right now. But this is a defense that's going to keep them in a lot of games. And teams are going to be forced into making mistakes because they need to figure out, okay, which way are we going to turn the offensive line? Are we going to be sliding them to the right? Are we going to slide to the – who's going to get the one-on-one? And I think they have the type of edge rushers and the type of athleticism at the linebacker spot. These guys can run. So it's going to be really, really good to see just their – just how they're able to use the pieces that they have, because they can match up with, I think, anybody. So as they continue to get better and talk about being in the system, what is the third year in the system, you know, I think it's really starting to gain traction and really do what they need to do and be one of the best defenses in college football, because they proved they can do that already.
Howard, let's go up to Ann Arbor. Got to pick your brain on what you understand about where Michigan is resetting, you know, obviously with the new head coach, but at the most important position, you've been seeing, I'm sure, a lot of the buzz around J.J. McCarthy, and it looks like he's going to go fairly high in the draft. So maybe you can give your take on that. But what are you hearing about where Michigan is headed at the quarterback position?
You know, I think Orji's probably the guy, right? I think I had a chance to watch him practice last week, and, you know, this is a team that's lost a lot. It's no question they have. But, you know, they feel confident in their plan and what they've been able to do. Are they as talented as Ohio State right now? No, they're not. And you could probably make the argument that maybe they weren't even in past years, but they found ways to win games. And I think because they were they had such great leadership on that team, and you mentioned JJ, I think JJ is going to be an unbelievable pro. I think that, you know, teams would be foolish to pass on him. There's some other guys that can do, that can throw it a little better, can maybe more athletic, but JJ commands a room, and it would only take him a couple of weeks for veterans to be around him or whoever drafts him. Veterans to be around and get a real sense for who he is. He's going to make the building better. He's going to make the community better. And he's just one of those guys that I think is going to have, you know, an unbelievable professional career. I'm not saying he's going to go out and win Super Bowls and do some of those things. I hope he has that opportunity. But he just has the ability that I think can change the trajectory of a franchise. Just the way he handles himself, and he has that it factor. He just, you know, he's hard to figure out what it is, but, you know, he's been special his entire life when I've been watching him, and I don't see any reason why that's gonna change. Flipping back up to Michigan and what they have now, they've got to get a lot of production out of some guys that haven't had an opportunity to play as much, and that's gonna be a big part of it. And do they take a step back? Man, they've been on an unbelievable 3-year run. So you would expect that all of the players that they've lost, they're going to lose to the NFL the last couple of years, that it is a reset. There is a difference, but the energy was still the same. They haven't changed a lot that you can see from the outside going with Coach Moore. It doesn't look like a lot has changed. It may have gotten, I would say, more youthful, because that's just his personality. So it's going to be interesting to see just how that continues to develop and what happens at the quarterback spot, you know, through the offseason.
No doubt about it. And, you know, we'll be hitting you up to talk more about the Big Ten. We love catching up with you. He's Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network. Howard, appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.
All right, guys. Be good and enjoy the rest of the week.
There he goes. Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. So there you go. Little insider there. Maybe Orji's going to be the guy up there in Michigan. And, yeah, so like he said, they did lose a lot. That was a veteran-laden team last year that brought it home. So we'll see how Coach Moore can reset up there in Ann Arbor.
Whoever wins that job for them, I feel bad for them with this Buckeye defense coming.
That Buckeye defense.
Woo-wee!
Looking good right now.
Scary.
Looking good right now. They definitely got the potential to be scary. In the Buckeye Bulletin, up next, our friends over at 11 Warriors. They took on the task of ranking the top 10 wide receivers all time in Ohio State history. We'll roll through that after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Ah!
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, Bake, let's knock out a Buckeye Bulletin. You know, this assignment that was completed over at 11 Warriors by our guys over there, this is tough.
You ain't kidding.
This is tough because when you have to whittle down a list to 10 at the wide receiver position at this program, that's an uphill climb, man. It's an uphill climb because it's one of those situations you can't go wrong with any of them.
And it's also so hard to keep what you've seen from guys with success or not success at the next level out of it. And you can make a list that includes that. And it's so difficult.
So let's roll through this thing. I'll start at 10 and we'll work our way to the top. And then you can hit me with your takes on what they cooked up here. So at 10, they've got Michael Jenkins from 2000 to 2003.
And this is top 10 Buckeye wide receivers.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, Bake. At number 9, we've got Joey Galloway. At 8, they're going with Garrett Wilson. Coming in at 7, you've got JSN, Jackson Smith, and Jigba. At 6, Ted Ginn Jr. And then we get to the top 5. Terry Glenn, absolute monster at 5. At 4, Chris Olave. Your top 3 is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. David Boston comes in at 2. And then at number 1 is Marvin Harrison Jr. Where would you like to go with this list, my friend?
So the first place I want to go is immediately someone popped into my head that they got left off. And that was one Santonio Holmes.
Mm, yep.
But I don't know who you kick out. Exactly. I don't know who you kick out. The Marv at number 1. Gosh, he may end up being the best of all time everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, he's so good. But at number 1, like, I almost think is that recency bias, but I don't know. Joey Galloway is one at number 9.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was because it was so Joey Galloway played at Ohio State when it was part of my formative years. I feel like he should be higher on this list. I love the comment here that they have. Just so incredibly fast and also quick in small spaces, he really just couldn't be covered. And that's what I remember from Joey Galloway, from watching him play, even as a youngster, is nobody could guard that guy.
Yeah, he was a force, to say the least. And you mentioned Joey Galloway. I'll bring in Terry Glenn. I'll bring in David Boston and even Chris Carter. Those four guys that I just mentioned were absolutely dominant, right? It's crazy to think what those guys could do in today's era of football under a guy like Coach Day, who's really come in and opened things up even more so than what we saw from Urban, right? Urban's teams weren't high-flying teams all the time, and Coach Day's aren't that all the time either, but I think we get more of that under Coach Day than what we did under Coach Meyer and then under Tress. We know it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but those guys now, they got to be looking around and not only the style of play, but the NIL world too, and thinking, man, if I could hop into this era of football right now, what type of damage I would do.
And even if you want to go way, way back, a guy like Paul Warfield, they didn't even hardly throw the football back then. But Garrett Wilson, I was surprised, was 8. I agree with it. But I was surprised he was that far down because so many people loved his physical gifts and maybe, you know, outside of Marv, maybe the most physically gifted ever to play here. JSN at number 7. Now, his 1 year was just ridiculous. Yes. I mean, statistic-wise, 95 catches, 1,600 yards, and then, of course, the Rose Bowl game where he had 15 catches and 347 yards, which are both school single-game records. But it was still a one-hit wonder for JSN, and we know Olave and Wilson both said JSN was better than they were.
They said that.
But that's just a one-year span we really got from JSN, so it's kind of hard to have him that far up.
It's kind of got like the, on the defensive side, big, like the Malik Hooker vibe, right, where Malik Hooker had that monster year at Ohio State and then went to do
pretty big things in the NFL and has turned out to be a solid player for the Dallas Cowboys over the last couple years. Looking at this wide receiver list, when I just break it down to, for me personally, aesthetically, which guy I enjoyed watching, like his style as a wide receiver, is Chris Olave.
And you know, he's my favorite too. Chris, my favorite of all time.
He just seemed like he was out there gliding. Like,
so smooth.
When he, yeah, they're like just so smooth with his game, but also just had that spark of speed to where the dude was a really good route runner. And we've seen him go into the NFL and transfer his talent right into the league and be a dog there. But man, like, I just really enjoyed watching Olave get busy on Saturday.
He was like the Robert Smith of the wide receiver position. You know, he just, it looked like he was gliding on water. He is, you know, Olave, when he stepped on the field from the very first time as a freshman, he started contributing on special teams. He was great on the special team side of things. You remember his freshman year, the blocked punt in the Michigan game. Yep. And it's everything he did well. Even blocking, he was a good blocker. Olave is one of my favorite Buckeyes of all time.
They get him some consistent quarterback play down there in New Orleans. He's really going to start dominating more so than he already has, getting a couple thousand yard seasons already.
Terry Glenn, the only Biletnikoff winner, you know, in 1995 at the time, is number five on this list.
That's what I'm saying. This assignment, I love reading through this stuff, so shout out to the guys over at 11 Wars for putting this thing together. It's a very fun read. And then Marvin at the top. I mean, maybe it's recency bias, or maybe it's just this dude was that damn good.
I love these lists because any sports fan is going to have an opinion, and it's going to be different, and that's what gets sports talk going
awesome.
To me.
It's awesome. It's great for what we do. There's no doubt about it, and we're getting ready to see Marvin probably take off in the league fairly soon when he gets his name called early.
And speaking of Marv, he got himself a new deal, a new shoe. He's going to be with New Balance. That's pretty cool.
Cha-ching! Nice little check coming his way from New Balance there. That is today. There you go. Thank you, CB. That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. Top of the hour, we're going to hit you with a deep dive. Bake and I are going to take a deep dive and look inside the 2023 draft. Some of the hits, some of the misses, couple teams that have set themselves up for good success down the road, giving themselves a longer runway. We'll roll through that after an update. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every goal, every game, every point, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a game-winning goal in the final seconds of OT or a shot on goal in the first period.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
Welcome back in. This is Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. Got CB rocking out on the board, doing his thing with the Vandy hoodie on, Guardians hat on. Trying to dress up as J-Lo today? Is that what we're doing?
You're exactly right.
To my left, I got Ryan Baker filling in for our guy. AR, J-Lo, Jensen Lewis. He hops on with us every Friday for
the old Guardians
music.
Fans, they feeling good right now.
They have to, man. They absolutely have to. They are rocking and rolling.
Can we play the Oakland A's every game?
You know what? That is a great question, but you guys are handling business right now.
CB. Red Sox tonight, they're not much better.
And we got first pitch tonight. What are we looking at tonight since you mentioned it? Let me pull that up for those interested. 6:10 start up in the land. You get Ben Lively on the bump for CB's Guardians. So Stephen Vogt, you lose Tito, one of the best managers to ever do it. Stephen Vogt steps in as a rookie manager. He has the Guardians in good position. Some real tests are going to come eventually, but I don't care. They're handling business right now, and that's what you got to do to get yourself into the postseason. You mentioned to me, and real quick before we get to this story, just want to let you know, bottom of the hour, we're going to link up with Russell Brown, NFL draft analyst for Fantasy Pros, been in front of the program for a while, who definitely have some good insight on some of the top prospects in this year's draft that now we got to transition to a little bit of Caitlin Clark news.
Yeah, she's about to set another record, Maddie.
Okay, what we got now?
She and Nike are agreeing to an 8-year, $28 million contract, and that includes her very own Caitlin Clark signature shoe. This new deal would be the richest sponsorship contract for a women's basketball player ever. So we're going to see a bunch of little young girl hoopsters rocking some Caitlin Clarks for a while now.
Tell you what, I think Sabrina Ionescu, she has a great shoe too. I don't know if you've ever seen her shoe. I do like her shoe. Caitlin Clark is changing things right before our eyes. Like she really
needle mover.
She is no question exactly what you just said. She is a needle mover. We've seen the commercial. She's got the State Farm commercial that's rolling right now. She just got done doing SNL, I believe, a couple weeks ago.
Or this past weekend.
It was funny. She has right now, Bake, you and I are big wrestling fans. And right, you can be a great wrestler or a great storyteller. You can be great on the stick, whatever it is. But if you don't have the machine behind you, you can only go so far. They have all the machines behind her right now, and she's pushing the sport forward and possibly raising it to heights that we haven't seen. A friend of mine, he acknowledges how impactful she is, but he also says, well, she hasn't been the national champion. She has not been the national champion the last couple of years. That's gone to South Carolina and Dawn Staley. So there's people on both sides
for sure
of this thing, and I understand it, right? Because for some people, we're getting to a point to where it's a little overkill. And for others, you just look at it as a positive light that can only do good things for the women. And I think that's going to happen. But you mentioned that money right there. There's going to be, I'll have to guess, Bake, a decent level of resentment around the league for the women that have kind of paved the way, if you will, for Caitlin Clark to hop on this train and scoop up that amount of money, because that type of money is not just, it's not being thrown around even close to that type of money in the WNBA right now.
Well, and you kind of already heard that when they played UConn earlier, and some of the former UConn players saying, well, it's a different world in the WNBA, yada, 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 this and that.
Yeah.
And they're all valid points, whatever, but the fact of the matter is, she gets the biggest pop right now. If you want to do a wrestling term there, she gets the pop. Yeah. So that's where it goes.
No question. And they're going to have what I believe between 35 to 40 nationally televised games this year. The Indiana Fever. So that's going to be out there. I'll tune into a handful of games. I will. Like when they link up and play the Las Vegas Aces, I want to see her go up against Asia Wilson and Kelsey Plum and company. By the way, CB's got a little nugget for us on Kelsey Plum in a second, but I will tune in to a handful of those games.
And listen, you can be mad, you can be angry, you can be jealous all you want, but just like Tiger Woods did back in the day, he raised the boats, he raised the money and the dollars, so you can be mad all you want, but she's going to be helping pad your wallet.
100%. CB, you told me during the break that apparently we got a little Darren Waller, Kelsey Plum relationship update. What's their Facebook status right now?
Well, I do know that they filed for divorce officially, but she doesn't address that in the post she put out. Pretty much the story will come out one day type of thing, and that she's got to reset her life type of thing.
Okay.
But yeah, they are separated and now officially divorced.
Is the reasoning something that you can share? Do you have any?
I don't think anything's official, so I don't want to say anything.
Okay.
But no, there has been assumptions that maybe he was maybe not faithful.
Oh, okay. Tough look, Darren. Come on, big dog. Get it together.
Listen, if you get hungry away from home, you still got to go back home to eat. Come on. Come on now, Darren.
Oh, there you go. So let's get into some draft talk, Bake, because Thursday we're going to get this thing rolling. I believe the first round is scheduled to start right around 8 p.m. And then on Friday, rounds 2 and 3 will go off at 7. Do you watch beyond the first round?
It depends.
Yeah.
Like it may be like a baseball game type thing where I'll be doing other things and have it on in the background type. I don't know if I'm going to be sitting there glued to every pick, obviously.
I will for the first round, and then, you know, we'll fizzle it out just a little bit on Friday. But you and I wanted to do a little deep dive today on the 2023 draft and maybe some of the hits, misses, maybe some guys that look just okay in year one that we think can really yet level up and turn themselves into good players. But when we were prepping for the show, I know you had mentioned maybe a team or two that you identified looking at what happened last year. Is a team that really cooked up last year and given themselves a nice opportunity to roll over the next couple of years.
Yeah, and I know when we first talked about this, we really wanted to look into the first round of the draft, but I was looking at the NFL all-rookie teams from last year, mm-hmm. and there were two teams that really stood out in there, and one especially, the Los Angeles Rams, because this is a team that didn't even have a pick in the first round last year. Their first pick was round two, number 36. They put four players on that all-rookie team. Steve Avila, the second-round pick of theirs, he's a guard from TCU, went 36 overall. We all know what Puka did. I mean, Puka was amazing. How did that guy slip to the fifth round, 177th pick in the draft? Yeah. Is just insane. But then they did a good job on the defensive line as well. They got two guys in the third round in defensive end Byron Young and then defensive tackle Kobe Turner that were just awesome. And then the other team with four on the all-rookie team, the Detroit Lions. And if you remember, they got a little bit of heat, especially for their second first-round pick. They kind of got a little bit for Jahmyr Gibbs as well, I think. Some people thought maybe they reached on him at 12.
It's just, you know, the league, especially where we were last offseason, nobody wanted to give a penny to running backs, it felt like, around the NFL. And so, to your point, the Lions sit back and say, we're taking a running back in the first round. There was a lot of people dunking on their first round picks, but now we see that Jahmyr Gibbs he's that dude, and he was worth the pick, at least to me.
And Jack Campbell, their second first round pick at 18, a lot of people were like, oh, you really reached for him. You could have traded back. You could have got him in the second round, but he proved to be a pretty good player. Then we know they got Sam Laporta, who was just awesome, set the rookie reception record, I believe, for tight ends, and was right there on receiving yards and touchdowns for a rookie tight end as well. And then Brian Branch fell into their lap at the 45th pick, safety out of Alabama. So those two teams, especially the Rams, really crushed it last year in the draft.
I'm glad you brought them up, and I'm glad specifically you brought up one name in Kobe Turner, because Kobe Turner, I think his name now will have more attention on it.
Yes.
Because of the departure and retirement of Aaron Donald. But the dude had 9 sacks as a rookie, as a defensive tackle, right? And that's such an important thing. We talked about it yesterday with Mike Hall and maybe how the league is looking at him right now because of his ability to create static and pass rush in the middle of that defensive line. Like, that was always the question. How can the Los Angeles Rams front office continue to give themselves wiggle room or runway when they gave up all those picks? And this is how you do it. You find those guys late in the draft when you hide those high-end talents of Kupp and obviously Matthew Stafford and at the time Aaron Donald. But I think they can be legit, man. Like, I think that Rams offense, like, good luck slowing them down with Williams, Puka, and Cooper Kupp.
And I think the thing is Kyren Williams going to be able to stay healthy. He proved last year when he was healthy that he was a pretty good and effective running back for them. Outside of that, the running back play drops off with the Rams a little bit. So that's a big thing. You mentioned finding guys late in the draft too. There's a lot of guys last year that weren't even drafted that contributed big time. One of them, Ivan Pace Jr., the linebacker from Cincinnati, went to the Vikings. He made the all-rookie team, wasn't even drafted. Ronnie Hickman from Ohio State, we saw what he did in the Cleveland Browns backfield. And then until he got hurt, Keaton Mitchell for your Baltimore Ravens really looked like he had some juice.
Electric. He is electric, and hopefully they get him back. Maybe he's got to miss maybe a game or two or maybe a little bit more than that early on. But you talk about potential thunder and lightning in Baltimore this year with the Hammer and Derrick Henry and Keaton Mitchell. That could show itself to be a positive for me. What's fascinating to me, Babe, about last year's draft, and now I'm going back to the first round, picks 20 to 24. And that's Jackson Smith and Jigba, Quentin Johnston, Zay Flowers, and Jordan Addison. That run of wide receivers, who is going to emerge as the dude, right? And become maybe that no doubt number one, and maybe all of them will. I don't know. I think the Quentin Johnston situation has probably the biggest question mark attached to it. JSN went into a situation where you got two really good vets ahead of you on the pecking order. So the numbers out the gate weren't going to be crazy, but I think JSN with the talent that he has, I think he's ready to blow up this year.
Almost sounds like his situation here in college a little bit with Olave and Wilson ahead of him. But I think last year we really started at the end of the season to see him blossom and come into his own. We know some injury issues with him there to start the year, so it took him a little while. Zay Flowers, I think, has a chance to be the number one guy for your Ravens. And Jordan Addison, he doesn't have to be the number one, we know, with Justin Jefferson, but he's a guy that looked like he's going to be a pretty good receiver. Quentin Johnson, can he figure out the number one thing a receiver needs to do, and that's catch the football?
Yes, there you go.
Don't drop that thing.
That's always spooky for me, right? When you hear the evaluators, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world, the Todd McShays, the Mel Kipers bring up drops with receivers, that's when I'm like, I don't know. And I know with him, it's the frame, tall guy, it's pretty good speed for his size. But yeah, that was a questionable pick for them.
Another team, I think, when we're talking about the draft last year that you have to bring up is the Houston Texans. And we know how they swung big at the top of the draft. And they hit with CJ and Will Anderson. At least that first year, they hit with those guys. But they also did good in the later rounds, getting a guy like Tank Dell in that third round, pairing him with CJ. And we know we've heard CJ was a guy that said, kind of, you need to go out and get Tank Dell, because they had done some workouts together and whatnot. But that was three big picks on them, or on the two on the offensive side of the ball, one on the defensive side, that really helped turn that franchise around.
Big. That's why I don't mind the bet on Stephon Diggs. That's why I don't mind it. You have him essentially on a 1 year deal, right? Where he knows, if I want to get to new money, I got to keep things down the middle of the fairway all year long. And if he plays at that level, that's going to work out for them, obviously. But if it doesn't and things go left, essentially you got a clean slate. You can reset with Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and away you go.
So got rid of those last 2 years of the contract.
Yes, sir. I like the bet that they made on Stephon Diggs this year. What do you got?
Also, two undrafted quarterbacks from last year started games in the NFL this year, with DeVito and Tyson Bagent.
It's crazy how many starting quarterbacks we saw last year in the league. So yeah, we shall see what we get out of 2024 and the positives and negatives that come out of it, because that's just the case. I mean, not all these quarterbacks are going to hit, and there's going to be guys late in the first round and beyond that they're going to turn into really good players. Coming up in pre-snap reads, Shefty. Adam Schefter was on McAfee shows yesterday and talked about the teams trying to move up to the three hole. We'll let you hear from him after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
News, opinions, and insight all before breakfast. Rise and shine with Morning Juice.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every basket, every game, every point, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar, whether it's a three-pointer at the buzzer to tie the game or a player goes 2 for 2 at the foul line.
Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, Bank, Bet365 time, because at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. So yesterday, just missed out on that over for Darius Garland. It was 15.5. He had 15 points in the game. That's just, you get that close in betting and you usually lose. That's how the game works. Here's what I'm going to do tonight. We got three games. You got Phoenix taking on Minnesota to kick this thing off, followed by Indy versus Milwaukee, and the nightcap will be the Dallas Mavericks, Kyrie Irving and company, taking on the Los Angeles Clippers. So far in the NBA postseason, every home team has won. There has not been one single away team that has picked up a game in the NBA playoffs. So I am going to follow this trend. I'm going to take the Timberwolves on the money line tonight at -150. I'm going with Milwaukee at -115. And this is the one that brings me the most pause, but I am going to stick with this and go with the Clippers at -120. Mavericks got embarrassed, but I think the Clippers found some confidence without Kawhi Leonard. So give me all the home teams tonight on the money line. You got anything cooked up today?
You got any odds on that? For all three, the parlay?
I haven't done the matches yet. Okay. I just kind of wanted to do that on the surface. Right. But that's where I'm at on the money line tonight in the NBA.
So yesterday, You know, I went with the, unfortunately, not a good night for our Reds. Yeah. And I went against them, and I said that Ranger Suarez would hit the over on strikeouts. It was 5.5. He hit 5 in his 7 innings pitched against the Reds. Shut out the Reds last night. I'm doubling down today. I'm hoping the Reds win, but I'm doubling down. The Reds' offense has been struggling a little bit. Christopher Sanchez goes for the Phillies tonight. And again, his over-under is right at 5.5. Minus 140 if you go the over. These two teams matched up early. Actually, same pitching matchup. Reds ended up winning the game earlier this season, 6-3 on a Spencer Steer 10th inning grand slam. In that game, though, Sanchez had 8 strikeouts. So I'm doubling down.
Okay.
I'm going against our Reds again. I'm going over on these strikeouts.
There we go. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary. At Bet365, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. 21. Let me tell you this, too. You got to download the Bet365 app today. It's a great app. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
May the odds be ever in your favor.
Before we get to some shifty nuggets on that third overall pick, didn't want to mention this coming out of Cincinnati today, Bake. They secure the backup quarterback position over the next couple of years. Jake Browning gets a 2-year contract and stepped up for them when Joey B went down and, you know, threw about a dozen touchdowns on the year. So that's great to have, right? You got security at the most important position, a guy that you know, if his number is called, he can step into a Zach Taylor offense and things won't dramatically fall off. So I think this is a smart move by Cincinnati.
Yeah, he stepped up and he played well last year. We know a lot of people liked him coming out of the University of Washington. Yep. There were a lot of people that really liked, thought he was a pretty good quarterback and high on him. I think the continuity there, you know, I don't think Jake Browning is probably going to go anywhere else and be a starter, but you know he's a pretty good backup. So to keep him there, especially unfortunately with the injury history of Joe Burrow, I think it's good to have him back there. And I know like our own Tim Hall likes him there because of the extracurriculars that he has up in the stands in Joey B's booth. So
I don't think Tim Hall's alone in that. I don't think Timmy is alone in that. Well, we talked earlier, and we heard from Todd McShay earlier. You and I talked yesterday to John Keim about, you know, the Washington Commanders, and it seems like the hay is in the barn when it comes to that number 2 overall pick, that it is going to be Jane Daniels. So now there's a lot of, you know, uncertainty, if you will, with that number 3 overall pick. Our guy Adam Schefter, who we'll have on tomorrow and have him on every Wednesday at 12:33, he was on with Pat McAfee, and here is, you know, some of the latest that he's hearing when it comes to the Pats and what the plan could be.
So Minnesota's the team that is most actively trying to move up, because we've heard about the Giants. We've heard about a couple other teams. It's Minnesota trying to go get a quarterback. And if it's Drake May, that makes sense because they got Sam Darnold for the year. Is that what you're hearing? Or how do we get to this information and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, here's where we're at, essentially. New England's going to listen to teams that call. The two teams in my mind that I've been able to ascertain that have been the most active calling up to number 3 have been the Minnesota Vikings, number 1. And I think second, if we're going to quantify it, is the New York Giants. Those are the two teams that have expressed an interest in moving up to number 3. Now, whether they can get up to number 3 is a whole other issue. Whether New England is willing to go back is a whole other issue. It's going to take a lot. And so I don't know ultimately that New England is going to move off that pick. New England may just stay right where it is. And so if you're the Vikings, and I also think, by the way, yes, I said Drake May, but I also think that in a perfect world, the Vikings would have a high degree of interest, as would other teams, in Jaden Daniels. But I still think, as we talked about, that Jaden Daniels is the favorite to be number 2. So if Daniels goes number two, obviously he's not going 3. Yeah. If he goes to 3, the price of 3 goes up a lot if the Commanders decide not to take that pick. But I think the Commanders, in the end, will opt for Daniels. That's my read on it.
Commanders.
And if they do, then I think we got the Vikings who expressed the most interest in coming up to number 3. The Giants have expressed some as well. And the Patriots very likely are possible to just sit where they're at and pick from number 3.
What do you think of all that?
it just solidifies my whole thinking from yesterday, and then John Keim being so strong on Jaden Daniels as the pick at number two, that this draft gets really interesting when the New England Patriots get on the clock. I think it's kind of surprising that the New York Giants are the team that maybe more than anyone other than the Vikings is trying to get up there, because it seemed like they were resigned, set, whatever, that Daniel Jones was their guy, at least for one more year. I wonder which quarterback it is. And you heard Shefty say, you know, for the Vikings at least, maybe trying to. I wonder who it is that the Giants have their eye on. Which one of these guys do they really like, or do they like multiple?
To me, it's Drake May that the Vikings and the Giants really covet. Because I think with Daboll's history of coaching that style of quarterback recently between Daniel Jones and Josh Allen and kind of that high-end athleticism that you get and a little bit of rawness there, and we saw what Daboll did fine-tuning Daniel Jones 2 years ago where he did a good job of cutting down on the turnovers, and we know that was a narrative that followed Josh Allen coming out of coming out of Wyoming in college. And Brian Daboll helped him clean up some of those things as well. It screams Drake May to me, just based off of who he's coached in the past. What do you think?
Well, what you just said, though, to me, with Daboll and obviously Daniel Jones hurt last year, but Daniel Jones played a little better under Daboll, I think I would just stay where I'm at, not give up the capital, and let Daboll work with Daniel Jones again, giving him an elite receiver to work with at number six there.
They definitely need weapons. That's for sure. But it just, a lot of the buzz is they're ready to move off Daniel Jones after this year. Like, just kind of the money gets a little lighter when they get past this year. And you mentioned he's coming off that ACL injury. So they're a team that hasn't been talked about a ton when it comes to potentially moving up. But I could see them definitely grabbing one of those quarterbacks. And my guess is that they want May.
It is interesting that it's been kept quiet about the Giants for the most part. You've heard the speculation about Minnesota, obviously. The Broncos, the Raiders, things like that. Yeah. Those kind of teams moving up. Maybe even the Jets moving up, possibly. But the Giants have been kept pretty quiet in this conversation. No
question. Those are your pre-snap reads for today. When we come back, Russell Brown, NFL draft analyst for Fantasy Pros, he'll give his take on this and a lot more. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Ryan Baker chopping it up with you on a Tuesday. Going to use the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline and bring in Russell Brown, a show favorite, NFL draft analyst from Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. Russ, happy draft week, my man. We've arrived. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Doing really, really well, I want to start off with New England and what you think they should do with that third overall pick come Thursday night.
I'm so torn with them. I mean, what I think they should do is take a quarterback, because we know it's the most important position on the field. But when you just look at how hard it is to hit on a quarterback, and you look at their roster and just how bad their roster is, it's one of those situations and scenarios where I think you could make a case that they stay at three and take one of the safer picks in the draft in Joe Alt, or maybe they potentially move to, let's say, you know, six or something like that, and they take Joe Alt there if he ends up being there. So I really struggle with them because they are so bad. I mean, Connor McDermott is their starting left tackle right now. Like, you're not really sure what's going to happen in the second round. Could they move up? Sure. But I mean, my gut says they should take a quarterback, but I would not be surprised if if they blew up this whole thing and said, we're taking Joe Alt.
It's interesting that you just said they move back to six, because we just played some audio in the last segment from the Pat McAfee show when they had Adam Schefter on, and Schefter said the two teams that he heard the most that were talking about moving up in this draft were the Minnesota Vikings and then the New York Giants, who own that sixth pick. So the Giants, kind of quietly here, a team we haven't heard much about, are you hearing the same thing, that they're a team that's going to try to move up?
Yeah, that's been something that's been discussed really since the Senior Bowl. They've done all the homework on just about every quarterback in this class. Down at the Senior Bowl, you know, there was obviously Michael Penix and Bo Nix and Joe Milton and those and Spencer Rattler and those guys. But, you know, at the Combine, that was really where the chatter started to pick up. And Sunday morning, mid-morning, afternoon, early afternoon, before the final day of the Combine began, I post a hypothetical: if the draft was today and I had them moving up to three, the New York Giants from six to three, to take J.J. McCarthy, and the Patriots took Joe Alt at six. So I think it's a very interesting conversation. I think they've been in the shadows doing all of the quarterback work, because there's a lot of question marks in regards to Daniel Jones, his longevity, his health. They can get out of his contract after this year. Nobody wants the dead cap money against the books, but you'll do what you have to do. And this is an organization with the regime that needs to win now. You know, they're running out of time. They have to start competing now. I think it's very much in the cards for the Giants to be flirting around with the idea of a quarterback. And if J.J. McCarthy slips by any chance, if they can't get up to maybe get Drake May, who kind of seems to be the preferred option as of this morning, if they sit at six and they stay, if J.J. sits there and he falls to their lap, I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the guy.
Russell Brown, NFL draft analyst for Fantasy Pros, joining us here on The Fan. Russ, I want to hit you up about Denver, because you saw the trade that went down yesterday. Sean Payton and company brought in Zach Wilson. Where did your mind go when it comes to their selection in the first round and possibly taking a quarterback? Do you still think that's the path for them, or do you think now their quarterback room is set?
I don't think it's necessarily set. I think they would want to trade back. I really do. I think they, you know, they're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place, because Minnesota's sitting there at 11 in front of them. They have to jump them. They don't really have the capital this year without that second round pick to get in front of anything that Minnesota could offer if Minnesota was interested in trading up. So I think they would potentially want to get back to, you know, maybe 15 with Indianapolis, maybe 17 with Jacksonville, depending on if there's a pass catcher there. And then they could assess the board there, maybe Michael Penix or Bo Nix. I think they've done a lot of research on both quarterbacks. They've kind of researched and studied with J.J. McCarthy and visited with him. So I think there's some intrigue there. I just look at Bo Nix, and if he ends up making it into day two, I think that they can put some capital together to move up into the second round somewhere and get Bo Nix. He just fits what Sean Payton looks for in a quarterback. I think stylistically he makes sense. So I wouldn't say they're set, but maybe for day one they might be set, and I think they might just take best player available at 12 at that point.
You mentioned, we've talked a lot about quarterbacks here, and you mentioned Michael Penix there a little bit. Where do you think he ends up going?
It really feels like Vegas at this point. I mean, they've been the team that if they can't get Jaden Daniels, they've kind of been enamored with Michael Penix. So I would say there, I'm not saying at 13, and I'm just saying this as I stare final mock draft 4.0 in the face and continue to, you know, erase and delete and add a new name and take it away. But, I look at the Raiders at 13. Maybe they could move out of 13 with a team like Philadelphia, who I've heard in the last, you know, couple of days that they've been really intrigued with Quinyon Mitchell. Maybe they would move up to 13 to get Quinyon, and the Raiders would move back to 22, 23 range, and then they would take maybe Michael Penix there. So I think that would be the quarterback that they would be most likely to select, but this is a roster that could use an outside corner, and they could use a starting right tackle, and they're kind of right in position with Talise Fuaga out of Oregon State and J.C. Latham. So I'd be intrigued if they take one of those tackles.
There's been so much conversation when it comes to the Chicago Bears and them taking Caleb Williams at one. Russ, I want to get your take on their second first-round pick with them coming back at nine and some possibilities there for them.
I don't think they're going to move up. I just don't think they have the ammunition. Not saying they wouldn't spend future capital to make that happen, to get a Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers, or potentially even get in position to get Marvin Harrison Jr. if he doesn't go fourth overall. But I think at nine, you know, they're going to be looking at either Brock Bowers as a pass catcher, or they're going to be looking at a defensive player. I think this is maybe the landing spot if Atlanta doesn't stay at eight. If Atlanta maybe moves out for a team that's trying to jump in front of Chicago to get a pass catcher, I think the Bears are a potential landing spot for Byron Murphy. I think that they could also be a landing spot for Dallas Turner, depending on if they feel like they need that other edge rusher in round one opposite of Montez Sweat. And I wouldn't, you know, put out the idea of them trading out either. I mean, it just all depends on how these pass catchers go. We've all heard about Indianapolis being a team that wants to trade up, so it kind of feels like maybe Indianapolis would want to get up to eight or nine to get that pass catcher. So I think Chicago, you know, they would want a pass catcher there, but I just don't know if there's going to be one. So I would have to say they go defense or trade back.
Russell, outside of quarterbacks, let's take them out of the equation. Who are three prospects in this draft that you believe or can't miss?
Well, Joe Walt, Notre Dame, he's a top five player for me, one of the safest players in this draft. I love the way he plays. I think he can be a left tackle for sure. Certainly, I think he can be a right tackle. And just the way it feels, whether he ended up at New England at three, the Chargers at five, or Tennessee at seven, he just, wherever he lands in one of those three spots, it just feels like he's going to be a plug-and-play guy, and he's going to be a 10, 12, 13, 14-year pro that's just going to be, you know, huge upside every single year and Pro Bowl potential. Graham Barton is the other one, interior offensive lineman out of Duke. Some think he could be a tackle, 32 7/8 with his arm length, but he's so versatile. I love the way he finishes in the run game. So I love his skill set. I think he's a plug and play guy. I would really keep tabs on the Pittsburgh Steelers there at 20. I think he, you know, fits exactly what they're looking for, their style of offensive lineman. And then just, you know, the other one, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say, you know, Leiatu Latu, if he can stay healthy, best pure pass rusher in this draft. He is a guy that can easily get eight or nine sacks in year one. And I know I've been really hyping his teammate, Gabriel Murphy, but the more and more I look at Latu, if he can stay healthy with the neck, he can be really an impact player from day one.
It's great stuff. He's Russell Brown, NFL draft analyst over at Fantasy Pros. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Russ NFL Draft. Russell, enjoy draft week, man, and I'm sure we'll be hitting you up soon to talk about maybe some reaction from the first round and more. Thank you.
Absolutely, guys. We'll talk to you.
There he goes. Russell Brown was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. What's
up, man? It's very interesting. This is and I've looked at all kinds of mock drafts, read all of them. I love looking at those things. First time I've heard or seen anyone have an offensive lineman possibly in the top three of this draft.
Yeah, Joel, we saw him going up against the old Buckeyes last year up in South End. He seems like he's going to be a really, really good one. We'll hit the finish line of the show next with Tell the Truth. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
No hot takes, no dancing, plenty of stupid. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan, Ohio Sports Desk.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29-degree draft beer.
All right, CB, bring us home. What do you got, my man?
Yeah, today is National Picnic Day. So when you go to your summer or spring picnic, what is some of your favorite items that has to be in it?
All right, so I have to have the King's Hawaiian Roll Slider Buns. With either turkey, ham, or just a couple of those. You can give it all. Turkey, ham, bacon sliders, BLT sliders. Like, that for me needs to be in our picnic basket. Or some King Hawaiian Roll slider buns with different proteins for mini sandwiches or sandwiches. That'll start it off well for me. Where you at, big dog?
So when I first looked at this, I thought we were talking like picnic, like barbecue, 4th of July type picnic. And I was like, huh. Then that changes everything a little bit. So, yeah, you give me some turkey and cheese.
Yeah.
Some nice wavy potato chips.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
Just plain wavy?
I mean, yeah.
Because that's where I'm at, too. I love a plain chip with my sandwiches.
Same. I could even do, I wouldn't even be mad with a PB, you know, a little PB and honey in there.
Now, Ooh. Do you do the Midwestern thing, which is to put the chips inside of the sandwich?
I don't do that anymore, CB. There were some.
I have done that.
I was going to say, there's been some late nights in the past where that has popped off. Absolutely. But I haven't done that in a while. Now, going back to what you thought the original question was, if this were a barbecue style of picnic, what do we got to have there? What's the spread looking like?
Now, to me, this is real simple. And I'm, you know, with my food, I'm a simple guy. I just need the meats on the grill, okay, burger and dog, and give me some corn on the cob, and I'm happy.
Corn on the cob. Now, that's, are you a charred hot dog type of guy? Like, I need it
I can
super
do that.
Well done.
Like, I don't want it all, like, I don't want it where the char, that's the whole outside, yeah, personally, but I do like some char
we
on there.
We can get close to that. We can get close to that, though.
Just remember, it's not a lie if you believe
it. So we're counting like cookout type foods as like a picnic, correct? Is that where we're going with that?
Well, that's
I'm with you if that's the direction you're going, because if I can pair like a hamburger, cheeseburger with like some watermelon and whatnot, getting my spread all set up, I love that.
Got to have pasta salad too there, I think, at the cookout. No cube cheese, okay?
Are you getting macaroni and cheese in this then?
Seems like a bit too much work for me.
If I'm out and about at a cookout, mac and cheese leans a little heavy. Like, I'm not mad if it's there. I don't know how much I'm consuming it. So giving me, and I know it's still carbs with the pasta, but I like to go with the pasta salad with the Italian dressing in there, some pepperoni slices, shredded cheese, maybe some banana peppers, cucumbers in that thing. Joshua Perry and I used to have an argument about this, like the correct cheese to have in your pasta salad. It cannot be cube cheese. To me, it has to be shredded cheese. You a pasta salad guy?
I am not.
Really?
I'm not at all.
Okay.
All right, next question. It's our daily fan poll and sponsored by ERA Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. The question is, how many games will the Cavs Magic playoff series go? Will it be a sweep in 4, 5 games, 6, or 7?
Cavs off to a good start here with that 2-0 lead. They're playing pretty well right now, playing well defensively, yeah, as well. I'm feeling generous today, so I'm going to give the Magic 1 on their home, okay, court, but that's it. Cavs get this done in 5.
Little gentleman sweep for them.
Yeah.
I think that's where I'm at as well, Bake. I mean, Magic didn't even get to 90 points in the last game. It got a little hairy in the second half, but you're talking game number 1 for the Magic, 83 points. Game number 2, 86. Their offense, especially their three-point shooting, is just, it's non-existent. It's non-existent. So I think home cooking will get them right, CB, for one game. But this should be over fairly quickly, and then we'll be talking about, man, on paper, a pretty good matchup between the Cavs and the Celtics in round 2.
And that, my boy, is a damn truth.
All right, I originally only had 2 games down on my list for this, but I think I need to add a third to the heartbreaking losses of last night across sports. So in hockey, we had the Islanders blowing a 3-goal lead to the Hurricanes. We also had the 76ers losing late at the Knicks. And then we also had late night the Lakers losing on a buzzer beater to the Nuggets. Which of those three were the biggest heartbreak loss to you?
For me, man, it's got to be the Lakers, CB, just because of their history with Denver. I think after last night, this is 9 or 10 games in a row that the Denver Nuggets have beaten the Lakers, and especially just the ability to steal home court from the champs. You were up 20 on their home floor and let that lead slip away. It's for me, it's got to be LeBron, D'Lo, AD, and the Lakers feeling the most sting today.
So maybe this is because I'm a Jackets fan and I'm used to giving up 3-0 leads, but giving up a 3-0 lead isn't that big of a deal. And the Islanders have no shot against the Hurricanes in this series. So that's not heartbreaking at all. It would just be delaying the inevitable. And that's kind of how I feel about the Lakers Nuggets, too. The Nuggets are going to win this series. There's no way the Lakers are winning. Like, to me, it's like 99% chance that the Nuggets win this. So the Lakers don't have much of a shot. So, again, I think the Lakers win in the series. The devastating one to me is the 76ers, because now they're down 2-0 to the Knicks. And I think they did have a shot at winning this series, but maybe not now.
And the truth shall set you free.
If you missed Eric Eager from Sumer Sports talking all things NFL, Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network talking a little spring football, and then Russell Brown, NFL draft analyst, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you. Don't forget to subscribe to the Rothman and Ice podcast as well, and fire up that 97.1 The Fan app. It'll get you right. You can listen to everything there as well. Bake, appreciate you, big dog. Thanks for filling in.
Dude, it's been nice keeping AR's seat warm. Glad he's back. Hopefully safe tomorrow.
Always, man. Always. Folks, thanks so much for your time. We will talk to you tomorrow at high noon. Common Man and T-Bone up next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
The meatloaf!
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling promo code 1-800-GAMBLER. Home teams to win in full game and first half unders are on fire in the NBA playoffs. Full game unders are now 13-4, including 8 straight. First half unders are 14-2-1, including 7 straight. Home teams are now undefeated 11-0 on the money line, including the Cavs' 2 home playoff wins after last night winning and covering 5.5 against the Magic. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon, I'm Paul Keels. Cleveland Guardians begin a series at home with Boston tonight. Cleveland leads the AL Central and has a 4-game winning streak. Cincinnati Reds at home with Philadelphia looking to bounce back after being shut out by the Phillies last night. Columbus Clippers begin a series in Syracuse. From hockey, the Columbus Blue Jackets today signed last year's fourth-round draft pick Luca Pinelli to a 3-year entry-level contract. Ohio State has revealed that wrestling coach Tom Ryan was involved in an auto accident this morning and is being treated for non-life-threatening injuries. No one else was injured. Football, Cincinnati Bengals today re-signed quarterback Jake Browning to a 2-year contract. Browning started 7 games for the Bengals last season following Joe Burrow's season-ending injury. This update brought to you by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow, it's Nature Stone. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.